scriptures with you, please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew and the chapter 28. The final chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 28. We shall read from verse 1, and we shall read the entire chapter together. Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his own word. Gospel and the chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 28. And I want to draw your attention to verse 18. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now this is our text, and I want to speak to you on the subject, the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, our King. The absolute authority of Jesus Christ, our King. Now the work of a mediator, the work of a peacemaker, is not an enviable one. It is no easy job to be tasked with the work of reconciling opposing parties. If there is a dispute and mediation is called for to resolve that dispute, then ordinarily it is not a straightforward matter. There are obstacles in the way that have to be overcome. There are matters that have to be addressed, and they have to be addressed with some degree of skill and diligence. When we consider our Lord Jesus, when we consider him who is both fully God and fully man, we do consider him very much as that appointed mediator who reconciles sinful man to his God. And that was a most difficult job. That was a most challenging labor for the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish. Many obstacles are in his path. As mediator, he sets out to reconcile sinners to their God. He sets out with the purpose and the ambition of not only reconciling men and women to their God, but of bringing many sons to glory. And as such, that necessitated the Lord Jesus to do a number of things. As a mediator, he had, well, in the first place, he had to clear away the ignorance that is there among fallen humanity. Man in his natural state is ignorant of the gospel. He is ignorant of his position before God. He doesn't know that he needs to be reconciled. He isn't aware of the fact that he is at enmity. He is at war. He is in rebellion against his Maker. And therefore, in many ways, the first job of the mediator, the first work, was of that of a prophet, clearing away the ignorance, unveiling the gospel to fallen sinners. And then, of course, he must do the work of the priest. He must obtain for those that have offended God, for those that have put themselves at enmity with God, who have offended him, who are the offenders. The Lord Jesus Christ had to make atonement for their sins. Justice had to be satisfied. And it's ever the way with God that in those circumstances a blood atonement was required. A sacrifice had to be offered. And the mediator did that priestly work of offering up a sacrifice for sins. And then, of course, those who the Lord has died for, those whose sins have been laid upon him, those who have been brought to faith in him, who are his, who know the Lord, well, there is
a gap between that time when they come to faith in Christ, when they are saved, and that time when they will be brought to glory. And in between those two points of time, of course, there are obstacles to be overcome. There is a life to be lived. And it falls to the mediator. It falls to our Lord Jesus to do that work of a king, to be their Lord, to lead them, to bring the many sons to glory. Now I want you to understand this morning that as our Lord Jesus comes and speaks to his disciples in verse 18, he is very much speaking to them as a king. He is very much speaking to them as their mediator, as the one who reconciles them to God and will ultimately bring them to glory. He is speaking to them as the one who will guide and who will lead them, before whom they will bow and they will serve and they will acknowledge as their Lord and King. And as King, as the God-man, as the mediator, as he who is exercising his kingly office before and unto his people, he comes and he speaks unto them and he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, he speaks here of power. He speaks of authority. And of course, if we think of the king, we automatically think of authority, of power. If we think of one who is a Lord, we think again of his power and his authority. And certainly here we are reading of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is one who has the right to exercise power in heaven and in earth. And certainly when we look at this word and when we look at it in connection with the Saviour and in connection with how he exercises it, it should be carefully understood that this is the power of one, this is the authority of one whose will and commands must be obeyed. This is absolute authority. This is absolute power. And certainly when we have attached to that word all power, all power, the idea there is not so much of the variety. The idea there is of power in the highest degree. It is the maximum authority. And certainly this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wields. This is what he has been exalted to as Lord, as Christ, as King. He is one who possesses power in the highest degree, the maximum of authority, the one whose will and commands must be obeyed. Well, therefore, it is very, very clear here that our Lord Jesus Christ, in coming and speaking to these disciples, is speaking of the absolute authority, the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, our King. As our King, let it be understood, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Well, I want you to notice first of all this morning concerning this great truth of the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, our King. I want us in the first place to take some time to notice how this truth, it is communicated to the disciples. It is communicated to the disciples. The Lord comes and speaks to them concerning this truth. And then secondly today, we shall take note of the fact that this absolute authority of Jesus Christ our King, it is an authority that is given unto him. And in fact, we shall say there, it is given by the Father. It is given by the Father. There is a distinction here to be made between that power which is innate to God the Son, and that power, that authority, that position that is given to him as the mediator, as Lord, as King. And we'll look at that. And then thirdly today, we shall look at the truth that this absolute authority, it is exercised by the mediator. It is exercised by Christ. It is not a power that is unused, but it is a power that is both given and exercised. Well, first of all then, let us note concerning the absolute authority of Jesus Christ our King, let us note that this truth, it is communicated to the disciples. Jesus came and spake unto them. Now the circumstances here are that the 11 disciples have come into Galilee, and they have come to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 16, they have come to this place with the intention, with the expectation that the Lord will be there. And verse 17, we read, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Now, when we read in verse 17, clearly the position is that they see him, and they see him at some distance. He is at some distance from them, but they do see him, and they do worship him, and they prostrate themselves before him. And we learn there that as they worshipped him, as they bow before him, as they prostrate themselves in his presence, as they worshipped him, the Lord, who is at a distance, he comes. He draws near. He comes alongside of them and he speaks to them. He's been at a distance, but they worship him, and he comes to them. He draws near to them, and he speaks to them, and he communicates this truth of the absolute authority of himself as our King. And you know, there is a wonderful thought there. There is a wonderful thought there concerning the value of worship. It is true to say that in some degree our Lord Jesus is at a distance from us. Those who know him see him by faith. They behold him by faith. But he is nonetheless at a distance. The sight that they have of him is not a perfect sight. The understanding that they are given of him, it's not a complete understanding. He's at a distance. But as they see him at that distance, as they worship him, as they bow before him, as they praise his name, as they pray unto him, as they worship him in the word, there's a wonderful thing here. Jesus comes and speaks unto them. The Lord draws near and he ministers to their soul. And that's what we have here. Those at a distance worshipping the Lord Jesus, and Jesus draws near and ministers to their soul. And that is the experience of the disciples, and that is the experience of the Lord's people in so many generations of the church. As they worshipped him, Jesus came and spake to them. And spake to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let me say to you, this truth is communicated to the disciples, certainly with a view to removing the doubts that there were among them concerning him. We read in verse 17, yes, they worshipped, but among that worshipping group of 11 disciples, there were some that doubted. The word literally would mean just standing in two ways. And perhaps the suggestion there is, in this season, there are those among the disciples, and they're not altogether certain of the way that they should be taking in life. There is a measure of unbelief among them. And that's not an uncommon thing among the people of God. Our measure of faith is not always as great as it ought to be. And we are at times afflicted with unbelief. And certainly, as they worship him, and some doubted, the Lord, who is that sort of shepherd who always knows the condition of the flock, he understands the doubts. He is aware of the measure of unbelief. And he comes, and he speaks to them, and he says to them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." To those that are doubting, to those that are afflicted by unbelief, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes to them the exalted position that he holds. He is not a weak, powerless Savior. He is not the one who is just swayed and moved as events change. He is all powerful. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And that's a message that those that are afflicted by unbelief need to hear. That's a truth that those that were doubting that day needed to have impressed upon them. That the one whom they followed, the one who was their Lord, he was a mighty, he was a powerful Lord. All power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. And certainly, when you consider that as we have come to that time when the Lord has risen again from the dead, we are at the dawning of what could be called the New Testament church. When you think of the business that this group would be to the forefront in establishing that church, in promoting the truth of the gospel, well, there's no question here that the Lord is coming to them, and the Lord is saying to them, "Look, I am Lord. All power is given unto me. I am King." And there's no question here that in terms of the establishing of the church, the Lord Jesus takes the preeminent position as the head of that church, as the Lord, as the King of Kings, as the head of his people. And certainly for these disciples, for these apostles, as the ministry of the gospel is before them, the great work that is laid out in verses 19 and 20, going and teaching, baptizing and so on, all of the work of the gospel, ministering to sinners, discipling believers. Here is a word for them to encourage them in the ministry of the gospel. They are going to have to go out into the world. They are going to have to go out onto all nations, pagan, heathen, unbelieving, God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting nations. And the task is to make disciples or make Christians of all nations, to evangelize them. And what they need to hear from the Lord Jesus is, "Look, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. I am the one whose will must be done. I am the one who has power to move the will of stubborn, ungodly sinners. I am the one who has power to change the hearts of those who are hard against the gospel. All power is given unto me, and I am with you as you go about your work in the gospel. This truth is communicated to the disciples to encourage them in the ministry of the gospel. And this is a truth that we need to hear just as much as they needed to hear. We are not unafflicted with unbelief. We are in that business of advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. We are in that work of the ministry of the gospel. And we need to know that he that is with us, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. There is a power that can overwhelm, can subdue. There is a power that can convince and convert. There is a power that is given unto the Lord. Well, I've said something then about the fact that this truth was communicated to the disciples, the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, our King. I want you to understand this morning also that it is given by the Father. It is given by the Father to the Son, to the Lord Jesus as mediator. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we should not ignore that statement there. This is power that is given. This is a position that is given. And it is, let me say this, it is God the Father who gives Christ power in heaven and earth. In John chapter 17 and verse 2, there is a reference there. John chapter 17, verse 2, and remember, Jesus is addressing his Father. He's speaking to the Father. And he says in verse 2, concerning himself, the Father and the Son, as thou, that is God the Father, has given the Son, has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And if you turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, you will read there of what God has done, what the Father has done in terms of the Son. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is exaltation. This is the position that Christ has been given, that the Lord Jesus has been given by his Father. The same Jesus whom ye have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And then if you turn to Acts 5:31, and we'll put these verses together. Acts 5:31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now here is in these verses something definite that the Father is doing with reference to the Son. The Father is giving the Son a position. He is exalting him to that position of a prince, or a lord, or we would say even a king. And as a king, as one that would rule, as a prince would rule, or a lord would rule, as a king, as our mediator, the Father gives him power. The Father gives him authority. As John 17:2 puts it, the Father gives him power over all flesh. Power to do what? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now there are some things that we know about a king. There are some things we know about a ruling prince or a ruling lord. We know he has power. We know he has authority. And the extent of it will vary from prince to prince or lord to lord. But we also know that any lord, any prince, any king has a people over whom he reigns, has a people whom he governs. And the scripture makes it clear to us that the Father exalts the Son, makes him Lord, exalts him to the position of the prince, and gives him power, gives him the authority of that position, and gives him with that position a people. And John 17:2 makes that clear also. He has power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. The Lord should give eternal life to as many as thou, that is the Father, has given him. God the Father gave to the Son a people. A people who would be saved. A people over whom the Son would reign. And today in this meeting, if we are here as blood-bought, blood-washed children of God, we are part of that people. We are of the number that make up that kingdom. And we have a king who exercises authority over all flesh. We have a king who gave to us eternal life and brought us into his kingdom. He has a people over whom he reigns. In Matthew 28, verse 18, our text makes it clear that he has a realm in which he reigns. All power is given unto him, we are told. The power of a king, the power of authority, given unto him in heaven and in earth. Here is the sphere, here is the extent. In reality, his rule, his power, his authority, his writ, as it were, runs everywhere. It runs everywhere. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. There was never a king like this king. There was never a king who could move the will. Never a king who could change the heart. Never a king who could affect the mind in the way that this king can. And his power is found. His power is in. It runs, its extent, its realm is in heaven and in earth. And when I think of that, when I think of our king reigning over his people, when I think of his realm, and I think of him exalted to the right hand of the majesty on high, I think of him sitting in rule and sovereignty. I think of the fact that the day will come when friends and foe alike will stand before him. When friends and foe alike will see him seated upon the throne, will see him in his power, will see him in the full extent of his authority. And every one of us will have to file past his judgment seat. Every one of us. He has a seat from which he reigns. Philippians chapter 2, speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaks of him that humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. But verse 9 of Philippians 2 says, God also highly exalted him. Also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We are speaking this morning to you of the absolute authority of Jesus Christ our King. And it's very clear that those that know him, those that love him, those that have been saved by him, freely, willingly, joyfully submit themselves to that authority. But others do not. Others resist it. Others reject it, despise it, claim that such a thing does not exist. But the day will come. The day will come when he who is above everyone else, when he who is king, the day will come that every knee shall bow. The day will come that every tongue will have to acknowledge the position, the exalted position of our Lord Jesus. And I say to you, it will be better for you now to acknowledge him. It will be better for you now to embrace him as your Lord and as your Saviour than to leave it to that day when you are brought unwillingly and still with enmity in your heart before his throne of judgment. So I say this morning then, this authority, it is given to him by the Father. And thirdly, and with this we'll finish, it is exercised by the mediator. The God-man does exercise the power that is given to him. He is not an idle king. He is not one that possesses the power but never uses the power. He does use it. And the sphere of his operations is really made clear by the verses 19 and 20 that follow it. He will use it in terms of the evangelizing of the nations. He will use it in terms of the teaching of those that have come to faith, the maturing of the saints. He will exercise his power, therefore, in terms of the converting of sinners and in the maturing of the saints. But I want you to notice carefully that he will exercise his power through his servants. The Lord says to his servants, look, all power is given unto me. And he says to those same servants, he says to them, look, you go. You go and you teach the nations. You teach them the gospel. You evangelize them. And those that are converted, you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. And those that are newly converted and baptized, you instruct them. You teach them the word of God. What I have taught you, you teach them the word of God with a view to observing that word, to not only believing it, but obeying that word. And he says, as you go about that, I will be with you. I will be there. I will exercise my power through you, my servants. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I said at the very beginning, he is a mediator. He aims to reconcile all of his people to God, and to bring many sons to glory. And here he is laying out that same agenda for his church. And he is instructing them, look, this is the agenda. This is what I am going to do. And it is you that I am going to use in this great endeavor. He exercises his power through his servants. But he exercises his power by his Spirit. When he says, I am with you always, in verse 20, clearly he is not saying, I'm going to be with Peter and the rest of them physically. Physically he's absent from them. Physically he's absent from us. Physically he is in heaven. But he is nonetheless there. He is nonetheless with them by his Spirit. He promised them the Spirit. He promised them the Spirit. And as they would go out, as they would teach the nations and baptize the new converts and instruct those that have been converted, seek to disciple them, they would know that the Lord by his Spirit was working through them. The Lord was with them. And that is something that we need to understand. And it is something that we need constantly to encourage ourselves in. The Father has given to the Son a people. The Father has given to the Son a people. There is a people in this earth that will be brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go, and as we teach, we minister, we evangelize, we instruct, we are to understand that he that is with us, he is going to bring all of his purposes to pass. People are going to be saved. New converts are going to be baptized. They're going to be discipled. They're going to mature. And they're going to be brought finally as sons home to glory. And that's a wonderful encouragement for each and every believer. We live in a dark world. We live in an unbelieving world. But be under no illusions. The Lord has a people in that world. And the Lord has the power to bring that people to himself. And it is his will. It is his will for them to be saved. And it is his will to use human instruments, men and women, to bring them to that saving faith. May we get a hold of this. May it encourage us in our prayer life. May it encourage us in our service for God. May we know that the Lord, who is our Lord, who is with us, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. For his name's sake, amen.